ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. And we'll be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening. This is Brother Mike from Kingdom Identity Ministries. And I'd like to welcome you to another one of our Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. We've been not able to bring you a live broadcast now for a while. We're being heard tonight over WBCQ 7.490 megahertz and WWCR, both transmitters 3 and 4. 4.840 megahertz and 5.890 megahertz. I'd like to start by thanking Tom at WBCQ for arranging the broadcast tonight and acting as our board operator. I'd also like to ask our audience to pray for a permanent solution, but we're happy that we're back on the air tonight. If you'd like to participate in the program, our number is 877-924-7722. That's a toll-free number. 877-YAWS-RICS. 877-924-7722. Tonight we have a special broadcast on South Africa. My guest has been with us before, a couple years ago. She was born and raised in South Africa. She married an American. She moved to this country. She's a longtime believer and active in the faith, and I'd like to welcome to the broadcast Monica Stone.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you for having me, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to enlighten people about what's happening in my country and what I'm fearing for yours. Thank you for that.
Well, we appreciate having you on as a guest. Why don't we start out by you telling us what South Africa was like when you were growing up and how it's changed.
It's still a wonderful country. It will be again a wonderful country. Yes, I had a wonderful childhood. I won't say we didn't have any problems. Of course we had problems, but we could freely walk the streets. There was no problems between white and black, but of course today it's completely different. But we had different schools, absolutely segregated white schools, black schools. The Indians had their own schools, the coloreds had their own schools. The white government built universities, hospitals for the blacks, for the Indians. They had their own living quarters. They have their own countries, like the Bantustans, and some of them even got independence, like the Botswana and the Transkei. They have their own presidents, but it was a good country. It was wonderful. It's one of the most beautiful countries in the world. As I say, I had a wonderful, wonderful childhood with good parents, brought up very strict Christian upbringing, telling us who's who, who's the Jew, who's the black, and who, what's. My dad was very strict in us listening to world news and explaining why things are happening and why it's not happening. We could go to Johannesburg in the middle of the city, go to the movies, go to the restaurants, and the blacks will greet you politely. Today, of course, it's completely different. Everybody is walking around with guns. If you are allowed to defend yourself as a white, of course, you can't do that anymore. We could go to the seaside without being swamped by blacks. Whites don't go to Durban anymore for one good reason. It's because it's swamped with blacks and Indians. But interesting now, they're even gunning for the Indians and they're gunning for the coloreds. and all these strangers coming in from all over the north, as far as Mali. We have Congolese there, Somalians, Zimbabweans, of course, and they're fighting each other. The necklacing came back. About 1,000 of them died before the ANC took over in 1994 by winning Mandela's necklacing matches. They vicious towards their own people. The whites, of course, kept them apart. I remember that we had a gas station, and I had blacks working for me, that you cannot appoint a black without having a place for him to stay. And he can't, if he's a Sotho, he will not give, they will not give him a bed in the Zulu quarters. It will not be allowed. They would also be kept apart because they kill each other. So there was relative peace, and I mean, it's in all the time the National Party was in power, about 18,000 blacks died. Now we talk about thousands. Now 25,000 died per year with murders amongst themselves. And of course, now today, about 70,000 whites have been murdered.
And the most when you were growing up, South Africa was the most civilized country in the continent of Africa, and now it's become like many of the other uncivilized nations to the north.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, we had a very high standard of living. And the blacks too, of course. I mean, the National Party built them houses. They could even make the choice of the color of the tiles in their bathrooms, you know. And now there are 50 million blacks in a country that cannot carry 50 million people. And they're living in shacks. And the ANC government doesn't care about it. In actual fact, President Zuma has got his own village. He built himself mansions, and for his four wives too, and his 20 children. Even a runway for a plane, two soccer fields, and et cetera, et cetera. So all that money was given to him by the British government.
I guess that South Africa was settled by dedicated Christians, Dutch and German, and some French Huguenot, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, we have Frans Hoek in the Cape. It's called the French Quarter, or the French Corner. And there are still people there speaking French. My cousin gives French lessons there. So it's very, very, very European, very French. And of course, we have the German cities like Stadtheim, Heidelberg, so many of them, but all in the Cape, the Eastern Cape. That part of South Africa was given to the Xhosas, Mandela's people. So that part of South Africa was destroyed first by giving it to the Xhosas and women.
What about the whites? It was settled by dedicated Christians.
Oh, absolutely.
But what's the moral tone of South Africa today among the whites?
Absolutely. There were no blacks in South Africa. I mean, I must stress this fact. People think that we stole the country from the blacks. That's not true. They were not there. We had the Hottentots or the beachgoers, as we would say today. And they don't exist anymore. They were slaughtered by the Xhosas when the Xhosas came from the north. They slaughtered the men and took the wives. This is where you see why they don't exist anymore, because they intermingled with the Xhosa. And this is what happened. And I mean, they're killing each other, but the whites settled and they fought how many? What we call then Kaffir wars. Of course, you can't use the word Kaffir anymore, although the word Kaffir means Kafir in Arabic, means woolly-headed heathen. So it's a very good description. But yes, it was started by the Dutch East India Company and brought in all these whites trying to find a new place to settle. And because of religious wars in Europe, they had to get out of Europe, and they found the sanctuary in South Africa.
What I meant was that, of course, it's degenerated because of black rule, but what has happened to the morals of the whites? I understand that you couldn't get pornography in South Africa, at least for the public movies and so on, and that if somebody wanted things like that, they'd have to go to a neighboring black country. Have the whites degenerated along with the blacks under the New South Africa?
Well, tragically so, yes, Mike, I'm sorry to say that. Yes, very much so. It's a big concern. I talked to a friend this morning, and he's raising big concerns about that, because now it's completely reversed. They have white women or white young girls taking care of their little black babies as nannies. And, of course, there's a big traffic, slavery, and white slavery and prostitution, and of course that is mostly white kids being sold into this sex slave and prostitution and all that type of thing. So it's really bad.
Well, Benjamin Franklin said that in whatever country Jews have settled in any great number, they have lowered its moral tone. I believe that in South Africa, just like in this country, they control the media, they control financial system and newspapers and so on.
That's correct. That's correct. Yeah, that's very, very sad. And, of course, we have now a problem with about 800,000 whites living in squatter camps in absolute squalor, and they cannot get any help from the government. Of course, they're not going to get any help because they're white. And they won't get, they don't get any help. They don't get any jobs. There's no hope. There's nothing. They live on handouts every day. So that's bringing them down even more and more. They lost hope because this is now going on for nearly 20 years, and they just think it's not going to change. Well, if our father doesn't intervene and change this, there won't be any change because no Western country is going to help because they caused the problem. I mean, America and the whole Western world. Thought to it that we lost our country. You know,
of course, the whites voted it in.
Yes.
In the first place, and it appears that at least some of the whites are apathetic today. That you know, they went the same way as Rhodesia.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, yes. Yeah. Well, you know, that's also debatable. Who really won the election? I mean, the election was in 1994. There was no way that the whites could win the election with a majority of 50 million blacks or 20 million of them voting and only 2 million whites voting. It's impossible that a white party will win the election. But I mean, even with the referendum we had, yes, we gave the country away. We had all these yes votes, but we don't know if that's really true. What did Stalin say so many years ago? It's not the vote that counts, but the counter that counts. So
right.
this is what really happened. And also, because of all the media, you're so correct in that, the propaganda and lies. I mean, oh, yes, well, we will be able to keep our own schools. We will be able to keep our own areas. We will be able to do this and to do that. I mean, it's like Obama telling you here with Obamacare, you can keep your own doctor. I mean, it's the same rhetoric. It's just other words and other lies. And the people fall for it. This is the problem. Because why would the government lie to you? And they don't understand that we're dealing with all these traitors. People who sold themselves to the devil.
Both the white politicians and religious leaders, to a great extent, were traitors, weren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yes, absolutely. This is. I mean, I lay the blame, all the blame, the steps of the churches, because they should have done a better job in educating the people. And tell them this is that you can't go there, you can't do this because this is against God's law. But of course, they never did that. They changed. They even changed before the government started giving the country away. The churches got together and they had the Cottesloe meetings, and there is where they decided, well, apartheid is wrong. Well, apartheid, of course, segregation of the races, and we've got to apologize for that. You know, it's like the Germans still apologizing for the Holocaust, and this will be forever. Like the Americans will keep on apologizing for slavery. It'll never stop because it suits the enemy of the White House.
I know that Albert Schweitzer, who dedicated his life to helping the blacks in Africa, said that they were an inferior subrace and that they must never be treated as equals. And he said they were like children.
Oh yeah, absolutely, they are like children. They, and I could tell you with all my experience and what my dad taught me, is that if you show but the slightest inkling of weakness, you've had it. It's over with. You have to be very strict with them, like a naughty child. Exactly what you said. If you lose that status, forget it. Then it's over with, and this is what's happening in our white world, all over the world. If we lost this, our status, we lost our disciplinary action against these other people. And this is why they're walking over us, and this is why they're playing all these knockout games and killing us all, because nobody's standing up. We lost it. We show them the weak side of the white race, because we lost our faith and our trust in God. I mean,
well,
we
I
are the
that,
foot trackers, you know?
I know that you currently live in the New Orleans area. Do you see parallels that their nature hasn't changed from moving from Africa to this country, that they still have that same nature that they've always had?
Oh, yes, of course. I mean, it's in their DNA. They can't change. I mean, every day on the news, there are shootings and stabbings in New Orleans. But, of course, they're not educated, and they're not educated. I mean, I'm sick of hearing that. We also have that. We've got to educate them. It doesn't change their DNA. It doesn't change the savageness. When they smell blood, they smell blood, and they will not stop till everything is destroyed, because this is what and who they are. And I have a problem in convincing Americans about that, because they think that the African American is different. They're from Africa, you know. And I'm telling you that if it keeps on like this, the white American showing weakness like they do now, they will walk over you, and this is, it's going to happen the same as what's happening in South Africa. It already started here. I just
do you see the same parallels taking place in this country that you saw in South Africa and Rhodesia?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I saw only last week, this student, black student, 14 years old, murdering his teacher. He's 24 years old, and he raped her with a stick. That's exactly what they do in South Africa. They rape some of these women with broomsticks. I mean, really? Sort of impaling them. So I thought, oh, now this started here already. They read the internet. They know what's going on there, and they see that they get away with it there, so why wouldn't they get away with it here? Everybody's going to shake in fear and don't do anything about it, because it's too terrible to be a racist. You just allow them to kill you. I'm sorry I'm so blunt, but this is how I see it, because I see the similarities. This is unreal. And what's also interesting, Mike, is I see Obama fired 157 generals the other day. You know that just before South Africa fell, the white South African government fired quite a lot of generals. Of course, they were all white. So they couldn't arrange a coup d'etat, because they didn't have any power. They were kicked out of their office in one day. So there are a lot of similarities. Just look around. The people must just watch, and they will see if they study what happened in Africa from the first white colony that fell was Ghana up to South Africa, the last one. The pattern is the same. The pattern here is the same. The pattern what's happening in Europe and England, it's all the same. I see now they're pushing Australia to accept majority rule. What does that mean? That the colored or the brown nations will rule there over the whites also. And here, they're getting more and more brazen. I just listened to this black yelling and say, well, we're already the majority in New York, and you've got to accept that, that we're going to take over this country before the year 2050.
Well, I know South Africa went from a highly civilized country to the rape and murder capital of the world, and I understand they're even raping little 2 and 3 year old girls.
Oh my! They raped a six week old baby last week. Yeah, they don't know. They don't stop with 2 or 3 years old. It's from babies. They raped a newborn a few months ago. When the baby was born, the baby was raped, because the problem is they believe that the younger the better, because it will cure their AIDS. This is the problem. And the witch doctors told them that, and we know that they're so superstitious, they believe everything the witch doctors tell them. Was the year about 1830? I think about 1830, a witch doctor in the Transkei, she told the Tosas to kill all their cattle, because then the whites will disappear. Of course, the whites didn't disappear, but they nearly disappeared because they starved to death. But again, the white came to the rescue. And this is our problem. Nature takes care of it all, and then we interfere with nature.
But of course, when the whites settled South Africa, there were a bunch of miraculous happenings at the settling, because they were a godly people.
Yes.
Would you like to go into some of those, such as the Battle of Blood River?
Well, yeah, well, that is, of course, the most well-known one. Yes. Yeah, well, let's start from the beginning. Well, you know, the Boers tracked, of the voortrekkers left the Cape, and they went over the mountains, over the Dragon Mountains, into the wild. And then they met these blacks coming down from the north, okay? And they sort of lived in peace. Every now and then there was a sort of a struggle and a battle. But they always had the victory. But the Zulus really got very, very arrogant, and they were really a big problem. So they all got together. They started praying 9 days before the battle of Blood River, and they got Andries Pretorius came from the Cape, and he was a strategist and of course very well versed in battle, and they put the lager, they threw the wagons, put the wagons there at the Blood River. It wasn't called the Blood River then, but they put the wagons there. They had one little cannon, I mean, goodness me, a small little thing, maybe 12 inches long, and would take one ball at a time. But they were 438 white men fighting there that day. And they prayed for 9 days, and they asked God to be with them and give them the victory. And they will that day, with the victory, celebrate as the day of the vow, when they made this covenant with God and keep it as a Sunday. So the battle started that day, and they were about, say, 15 to 20,000, we're not sure, 15 to 20,000 impis, that's what you call a Zulu warrior, screaming and yelling. I mean, it's bloodthirsty, and your blood goes absolutely cold when you hear them yelling and screaming. And I mean, they came wave after wave after wave, and the poor track is just kept on firing and kept on firing, and eventually they had the upper hand, and then they opened those wagons and they chased them down, and we had the victory that day. And if you talk to the Zulus, they will tell you that they didn't fight the men on the ground, but they had to fight these men coming out of the heavens all dressed in white. So the angels came down that day and saved the day. Not one single white man died that day. But the river was absolutely full of blood, full of dead bodies. And up to today, the Zulus still talk about it. Now they want their revenge because of Blood River. the only one talking about the against it is a Dutch old lady. He's the uncle of the King of Zululand, and he said, do not go against the Boers. Don't ever forget the Battle of Blood River. God is on their side. You've got to understand that. But of course, they don't understand it. So we will have another Blood River. But I just pray that my people will go back to who they were with the Battle of Blood River.
Be I guess there's some predictions when Mandela dies that the blacks are going to rise up and start killing whites in even greater numbers.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, well, that's what they're talking about. And this is another interesting subject because nobody knows if he's already dead. He's been taken care of in his house in Helton, nearby where Oppenheimer's got his house. And 22 doctors are taking care of him around the clock. He's in a vegetative state, of course. He's 95 years old, and he's not going to recover at all. So why they doing this, we just we don't know. It can be that they're not ready to bury him yet. It can be that they're going to keep him alive until after the election, because they don't want any upheaval before the election, because the ANC is not so sure they're going to win this election because of this this little Zulu that came up now as very prominent, Julius Malema. They're trying really to discredit him, but he's very, very popular amongst the youth. That's very, very worrying. And, of course, Winnie Mandela is also now making remarks that she's worried because the youth is only talking about revolution. And she doesn't know where this is going to end. Well, I mean, they started this, and so this must go through to the end. So we don't know what's going to happen. Maybe nothing. We'll have to wait and see what's going to happen after Mandela's death. Maybe they drag it out and then it's not important when he dies. Although all the dignitaries all over the world will come to save Mandela's funeral, you know.
All right. Well, there's been betrayal by the other white nations for a long time. I guess an important event in your country was the Boer War. Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about what took place during the Boer War?
Well, of course, we had two wars against the British. The first one we won against the British, and then there was the second Anglo-Boer War from 1899 till 1902. We had about 60,000 men on commando, while the British had something like 450,000 men fighting 60,000 white South Africans, Afrikaners. We kept them busy for 3 years with guerrilla warfare and so forth. But what of course the British did is that they put the women in the camps, in concentration camps. The concentration camps in South Africa were the first concentration camps in the world, where 27,000 women and children died. It doesn't sound so much, or so, you know, so, such a disaster, but for us it was a big disaster, because if those women would have been alive, we could have been 18 million white. But just going back a little bit into to 1894, it was said that we have to destroy the Boers because they will side with the Germans when we attack the Germans. So all these wars are interlinked to get rid of the Germanic people by these Zionist Jews and their henchmen.
As always, part of it is the gold and diamonds of South Africa, you know, money.
Yeah. Yeah, that's correct, and I mean, Johannesburg was already in 1899 known as a horrible city full of, I mean, we had something like 64 brothels, all of them run by Jews, was infested with Jews, Johannesburg already, and they used this stupid excuse that the South African government, the old South African Republic, wouldn't give the foreigners the right to vote. Of course, you can only vote when you become a citizen. And in every country, you've got to stay in the country for 5 years before you can become a citizen. But that wasn't good enough. They really wanted the gold, and they wanted the diamonds, and they wanted to destroy the Boers. This is what it was all about. So this is what happened during the Anglo-Boer War. It was a horrible war of betrayal by Afrikaners towards their own, and by the British white people fighting white people. And then, of course, the British armed the Africans. They gave them guns, and they paid them to spy on the Boers. So it was really not a gentleman's war. The generals wrote so many letters to the British government and said, well, this is a white man's war. Keep the blacks out of it. It's got nothing to do with it. Well, of course, it never happened. And so they rounded up more of these women and put them in camps. And what they did is the women from the north of the country, they will put them on cattle trains, cattle coaches, and send them down to the south, or put them on ox wagons. I mean, thousands of them died on the way to these camps because they didn't treat them well. They were in an open cattle trucks, and they didn't get fed. So this is what happened. They died of pneumonia and just no treatment, absolutely not. And of course, they mistreated them, so they were raped, just like they did with the Germans in the camps, just the same story. I mean, it's just a mirror reflection of all that happened later to the Germans. They had a good run in and an exercise in South Africa, what they go to the Germans 12 years later, in the first World War, and then, of course, in the Second World War.
And of course, the Jewish propaganda was saying just the opposite of what was really taking place in all these incidents.
Of course, yes. Yes, I mean, the propaganda was so terrible. I mean, I just started reading a book, The South African War, was written by Hobson, a British citizen, and he heard all this propaganda, and he thought he can't believe that he's going to South Africa, and he came out with a lot of stuff about how the propaganda and the information was twisted in England. I mean, the British really thought that the Boers are complete hooligans. They uneducated, dirty people. They never washed. They smell, and they wore skins. And I don't know. Boers, you know, they called them Boers, not B-O-E-R, but B-O-A-R, you know, that they uneducated, uncivilized people. And they've got to be taught a lesson, and of course, and teaching them a lesson so we can take the mine. And this is what, what's her name, Johanna van Warmelo said to this British soldier. She said to him, all British soldiers were called Tommy Atkins, and she told him, she said, Tommy Atkins, you think you're fighting this war to get the South African gold mines and the diamond mines? No. You're fighting this war for the Jews. You're going to lose. Absolutely. You won't have anything. The Jews will run for it, and they will run to the bank and laugh at you, and you keep your life for what?
Well, it's the same way today. Us fighting Jewish wars over in the Mideast. You know, we fight their enemies while they make the war profits, you know, get the oil interests and so on.
Yeah.
Let me at this point give our toll-free number out again in case anybody in the audience would like to call and ask questions or has comments. 877-924-7722. That's 877-YAWS-RACE. I'll repeat it. 877-924-7722 if you'd like to join tonight's conversation. Back during the Boer War, I believe there was a prophet who predicted what's taking place now and also a restoration in the future. Would you like to tell our audience about that?
Oh, yes. What this is so beautiful. I mean, yes, he was He was with the Boers in the field. His name was Niklas von Rensburg. He never took the weapon, and he never killed anybody. But he went as a mentor, as a preacher, and he helped the Boers in the field so many times by telling them not to do this or not to do that, or now get on your horses and go past the British because their cannons are blind. And then the whole commando will go past the British camp and they will not even wake up. So a lot of miracles happened during the time he went with the Boers. And he was on horseback in 1914. Well, let me retract. He disappeared for a few days. They couldn't find him. When they found him, he was completely grey and disheveled because he saw the concentration camp and he saw his own daughters dying in the concentration camp. And but he said what was so beautiful is that the light will come through and all these children will be singing and rejoicing because South Africa will be free again. And then he started telling everybody about the black government, what will be taken over the government system and rule over the white people. He said, but it will be restored. We will have a white government again. When, and then he was on horseback with the rebellion.
And Monica, we have Marion from Baltimore calling in.
Okay, good.
All right, Marion, please welcome you to the broadcast.
Good evening. I have a question.
Go ahead.
I understand that the Jewish people in South Africa, along with the Communist Party, campaigned furiously against apartheid. And I'd like to know how Jews are treated in South Africa now. Are there a lot of Jews there? And if there are any there, how are they treated? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, yeah, well, the Jews were heavily involved in the destruction of my country. Mandela worked together with Joe Slovo and his wife, Ruth Fuss, and a lot of Jews were arrested and in Livonia. Some of them fled to England, where they lived in safety. There are quite a few Jews left in South Africa. A lot of them left the country. But they are treated very well because the blacks know what side of the bread is buttered and jello on it or jelly on it. Of course, they live in safety. There's no problem. There's no Holocaust of Jews there now, but there's a Holocaust of Afrikaners in a big way. 70,000.
How many of the whites in South Africa are aware of the Jewish problem, as the media completely brainwash the people as they have in this country, or are there a sizable amount of whites that have woken up to this problem?
Oh, there are quite a lot of whites who know the problem, that the Jews are behind it all. But then we talk about 20 years later, with all the propaganda now, I mean, they're so worried about the black problem now that they forget about the Jewish problem, and that the Jewish instigators started this whole problem. You know, now they only see a black problem and not the Jewish problem.
Are the people apathetic, or how is their attitude towards the prophecy that you were speaking of about the restoration in the future?
This is what gives them hope, Mike. That gives them hope because they know it's going to change. It's being even discussed amongst the ANC. They're really worried about it because this is what let me tell you about Julius Malema. He was prophesied by Niklas von Rensburg. He said, "I see this small Zulu pygmy coming out of the grass with a spear, holding it over his head, and it will a shadow will fall over South Africa. Now, Julius Malema was a small, thin, little pickaninny when he was in the ANC Youth League with Winnie Mandela. And now he became a very big figure, really, not even figuratively, but really, really, he's overweight and he's very big. And he's got a lot of clout amongst the youth. But the CS said that they will start killing each other. He said, just when I see they lift the rifle to kill my people, I see a hand pushing this rifle away, and they will start killing each other. And the blood will come up to the reins of the horses. Just like, and then he will quote the Bible. He always quoted the Bible. Said, well, according to Ezekiel this, and go and read it there. He always quoted the Bible. That was the only book he ever read, was the Bible. So, yeah, this is what he said. He said, and we will have a white government again because Germany will get upset and Germany will send letters and complaining. And apparently, they already got a letter from Germany. There will be three letters coming from Germany complaining. And then the third one will make them so afraid that they will start running out of parliament. And one of the things that he predicted was the harbor of Luderitz Bay in Southwest. Now, you Americans will know it as Namibia. Of course, all staunch Afrikaners remember it as German Southwest Africa. That harbor couldn't be used at all, but the Germans restored it completely. And it can take now warships. And this is exactly what the seer said, and what we call him the prophet. He said that in 1914, if I'm correct, that the Luderitz Bay will be cleaned out and the ships will be coming in there from Germany. He said that then they will build the railway line from Luderitz Bay to Prieska into the Cape Colony. And there's about 15 kilometers to go when that railway line will be finished. This is what he said in 1914. And that railway line was under about 10 feet or whatever, I can't remember now exactly, dirt. So they cleaned it up, and 15 kilometers to go, and it'll be finished. So a lot of things that he predicted is coming to fruition, but a lot of bad things will still happen because he predicted the Third World War. He said that we cannot escape it, it will come, but it's not going to turn out like the West thinks, or the Jews think it's going to turn out. And of course, he saw all these earthquakes in Japan. When they asked him, what about Japan? He said, Japan will be destroyed by earthquakes. And it seems like it with Fukushima. So a lot of things already happened. And he said, England will be destroyed, will be absolutely swamped by non-whites. And we see that happening. They must be punished for what they've done. So
I see how this could give the whites great hope in South Africa, but has it also made them somewhat apathetic, where they're just waiting and not fighting back, or the conditions are so bad that if they have the chance to leave, maybe they're not leaving? What's the attitude of the white people in general?
You know, they, of course, I agree with you that they are pathetic, but we've got to be also realistic. We talk about 3 million, maybe 3.5 million whites against 50 million blacks. And we don't talk about only the blacks they've got to fight. They've got to fight the West, because the West is not going to allow any white uprising. It's not going to happen. But the CIA said that the things will start changing with the Third World War, because then the West will be so busy fighting a Third World War that South Africa will not be important anymore. So we'll have to wait and see. I mean, I don't want to talk about these big wars coming and all the slaughtering, because it's painful to think how many people are going to be killed, are going to be maimed, and starvation and all the things coming with war. But we bring this on ourselves because we didn't listen to the laws of our God. You know, but yes, they are empathetic, I must admit. But then the other thing is, if you try to defend yourself, you're in bigger trouble than the perpetrator.
You were our guest a couple years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, and what changes have taken place in that amount of time to what's taking place today?
Well, I must tell you, and this is good news, that I heard this past week that they have training camps for the young men now, whites. They're training the white men now. So, of course, the government's very upset about it. So there is a change. Since we talked the last time, there is a change. There are people fighting back. There are more people shooting these perpetrators now than they did 2 or 3 years ago. So things are changing.
What about white communities in South Africa that they're pretty much all white?
Oh, yes, there are two well-known ones. It's Kleinfontein, and they got the go-ahead from the government now that they have the right to be separate. So there are about a thousand whites living there. It's, of course, middle-upper-class people with money. And then you have Urania in the Cape, nearby Kimberley. But they allow the coloureds now to move in there, too. So it's not completely white anymore. There is another place, but I'm not going to talk about it because they're not well-known, and they keep it very hush-hush. Very dear friends of mine, so that's going very well. So there are enclaves with whites getting together and making things work. I mean, even in the squatter camps, there are people making little things and selling little things to try and make a living day. But of course, then you have the pathetic whites, the white trash, that's not doing anything and just waiting for a handout or somebody to take him out of there and giving him a future or whatever.
Is there a way that our audience can help the whites who need help, who are worthy of it? Perhaps they're in the squatter camps or just unemployed from the high unemployment in South Africa. Is there some way you could recommend to help these people?
Yes, well, I started the Living Waters Foundation, and what we did is, because of this one orphanage, for instance, is 70% white, and that is against the government law. It's got to be 70% black, so they cut the 35% support that the government give, or subsidy that they give, this orphanage, in half, so they're only getting 17.5% subsidy from the government. We're helping those kids. We adopted 8 white girls. So what I do is when if somebody listening and wants to send the money, I'm registered with the Louisiana state, and you can take it off your taxes. And what I do is I send it the money over by MoneyGram. That's the cheapest way to send it over. It's very safe. They have it within 10 minutes. And then we see to it that these 8 girls won't get the money, but they've got a house mother that they call Mom, and she takes care of them, and she will buy them shoes, and she will buy them whatever they need. This is what we are doing in a small way to help at least 8 white girls. The eldest one is 14, the youngest one's 4. So this is
you want to give an address out for the people to write or send the money?
Yes. Yeah, sure, you can make it out to Living Waters Foundation and send it to P.O. Box 1196, Mandeville, Louisiana, 70470. And you can go onto our website, South Africa Project, and you can read all about it there. And we've got the Facebook, too. It'll give you a link to the Facebook. And we already have 182 hits on it and 182 people liking it. So there you can read more of what's happening in South Africa and what we're trying to do to help those kids. In the smallest way, well, it's very small, but at least we can make 8 little girls more comfortable. And this is what we're trying to do. And I thank you if there is anybody wanting to help. I appreciate that.
Let me once more give our phone number, toll-free phone number out. We only have a few minutes left in the broadcast, and if you'd like to take the opportunity to talk to Monica, the number is 877 877-924-7722. 877-YAWS-RACE. 877-924-7722. Monica, would you like to mention anything that we haven't covered that you would like to bring out?
Well, yes, I want to tell everybody to keep South Africa in prayer, to keep the white race all over in prayer, because what the shocking South Africa is on stage 6 of the Genocide Watch, white race over the world is on stage 3 and moving up to stage 4. So we'll have to really take hands and stand together. Otherwise, we will go down together. We've got to keep it in prayer. We've got to keep our eyes on our Father. And South Africa is not a lost cause. It never will be. We're a special country. We're a special people. We're a special people all over. And then I also want to thank Kingdom Identity for giving me this chance to tell the people what's going on there. And please, don't forget Kingdom Identity in your prayers and in your help, too. We all need to help each other. This is the way we can honor our Father, by standing together and working together. So we can make this work, and we can have the victory in His holy name. Thank you for all that.
Well, I appreciate everything you said, but it also applies to this country. This country needs prayer. It needs people.
Yes.
Working for the same cause, the true Christianity that you need in South Africa, too.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, well, all over the world. I mean, South Africa is now, what's happening there is just a mirror image of what's going to happen in the rest of the world. So we have to, this is why I'm saying we've got to stand together, and please, people, we've got to stop it before it gets to this country. It's horrible. I don't want these people, you people, to go through what my people is going through. It's too terrible. Really, it's so vicious. It's so evil, terribly evil. And it can be prevented if we do something about it. Go back.
Well, that means in every nation, like you said, Britain is being invaded by various people from Pakistan and so on.
Okay.
We go ahead. We got a call from Canada. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, God bless you. I need the address. I know you mentioned an address there, but I would like to have to speak to that lady personally on another line. I would like to give some money. I can't read or write, but I do have some money, but I would like to help with some money. That's in the name of Jesus, you know, help the poor people. Is that possible?
I couldn't hear very well. You wanted the address of Living Waters?
He wants the address given again.
Okay, no problem. It's Living Waters Foundation, P.O. Box 1196, Mandeville, Louisiana, 70470.
Yes, sir. The connection is very bad here, too. I can barely hear you.
Okay, well, let me try again. Living Waters Foundation, P.O. Box 1196, Mandeville, Louisiana, 70470.
Yes, and God bless you. I don't know if you can hear me very well, but it seems like you're 10,000 miles away. I just said that I can't read or write, but I have money, but I would need to speak to you on another line so you can just spell it out so I can take the address down.
Do you want to call me at my home phone?
Yes, please.
Okay, it's 985.
Okay, 985, yes.
626.
626, yes.
4963.
4963.
That's it, yes.
Okay, I'll phone you tomorrow.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. God bless you. Bye.
God bless you, too. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. Good to hear from Canada.
That was wonderful. It was just very faint, but maybe we'll solve the problem. Yeah, we need the money. You don't need to read or write.
well, I know Canada has some draconian laws up there where you can't say certain things like the same as Europe. And this country's heading that way. And like I was saying when you called, Europe and England and Germany and all the countries, and well, of course, the U.S. being invaded by the Mexicans. And yeah. It's encouraged everywhere where the alien races are let in and the white race is dwindling.
That's good. That's correct. So,
we've got 10 seconds. Monica, would you like to make some closing comments?
Yes, I want to thank everybody who listened, and thank you for your help, thank you for your prayers, and just keep on going. We have the victory because our Father is with us. Thank you all, and good night.
Well, thank you for being a guest tonight, and I'd like to thank Tom for hosting the program, and our address and phone number will be given at the end of this broadcast.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a CD of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.